Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
There are two layers to this, and the first layer is actually just on the easy run. So as we train, we do expect to see an improvement on your easy pace. I mean, otherwise, you know, we wouldn't improve. So that's the one layer is like, yes, okay, we are going to be running faster and faster and faster, but how do we control that, and how do we make sure that that improvement in pace is an organic improvement in pace that's genuinely down to your improvement in fitness, and it's not you that's creating that by almost proving to yourself weekly that you are getting fitter, so you just putting that little bit more effort into your easy run. So that's the one side of it.
Welcome on to the next edition of Up. We are building ever closer to Comrades 2024. I've got the Comrades Marathon coach with us once again, Lindsay Parry. Nice to have you. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, how's it, Brad? Like going into Easter weekend. So like the year is only but flying.
Yeah, we talk about sort of March and April being the two big months for Comrades. We're nearly done with March, which is frightening. So Comrades is definitely looming large. But as you said, Easter weekend this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about sort of long runs this weekend. One of the sort of classic long runs happens on the Easter weekends, the Easter 100. We'll chat a little bit about that and sort of how to manage if you are planning on running some of those days. We'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about sort of managing how fit you are. You and I were chatting just before we started recording, and I'm for the first time in a long time feeling fitter than I have in ages. And it's easy to get carried away when you are feeling this fit. And let's be honest, when you are training for Comrades, you're probably going to be fitter than you've ever been in your life. So we'll be chatting about that too. And then it's also important to remember that this week is another one of our Comrades Marathon webinars. Let's get that out of the way up front. If you haven't registered your spot in that, the link is in the description below. Please do save your seat. We are looking forward to having you on live with us. Got lots of questions, or every time we do these live, we get lots of questions. So we'll be answering those as well. So do join us for the Comrades Marathon webinar. A slight different take in this week's sort of recording, Lindsay. And let's talk a little bit about Easter 100 before we talk about sort of how fit we are. We spoke a number of weeks ago about the Cosmos 3-in-1, which was 70-odd Ks in one day. Easter 100, slightly different, but it is still a lot of running over one weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of running. You know, you'll recall a few podcasts ago, we went through the weekly mileages that people should be gunning for by the end of March. I mean, just to quickly summarize that so that I can make my point. But, you know, for the finishers, we're looking at topping out at 60, bronze 65-70, Charlie 70, Bill Rowan 90, and 110 for the silvers for the end of March. So that gives you an idea. And now we're talking about 100 Ks in 3 days. You know, so we did say also when we went through all those numbers that there are going to be some weeks that are quite big and poke their head out. But 100 Ks over 3 days on the weekend, that's more than just poking your head out. That's a huge load. And I think that actually tells you everything you need to know. I am really, again, not a fan of doing 100 Ks in 3 days. Not for any plan. Not in an organized event, because you're going to run it way too hard anyway. But it is a great opportunity because people have got more time on that weekend, particularly on the Friday. So it gives you an opportunity to spread out your typical weekend long runs. So if you, you know, if you have got quite a big weekend planned of, say, 50 plus kilometers over the whole weekend, then it can be a good idea to do a biggish run on the Friday and then a smaller run on the Saturday. But effectively, that's how I would manage the Easter 100, is to do two of the 3 days rather than doing all 3 days. And if you do the big one, which typically on the Easter 100 is like just about 50 Ks on day one, if you're doing that like big one and doing the whole distance, I'd almost make that just, that's my run for the weekend, and then leave the other two. But yeah, that's how I'd manage that Easter 100. It's a very big training load, 90 to 100 Ks in 3 days, almost double what the bulk of the field should be running in a week. So just be very careful. Again, there's a lot of runners that get this kind of idea in their head that this is one of the weekends that gives them the belief and the confidence, and it fixes everything for them from a, you know, what they can expect on race day. So if you're one of those people, one of the big things is to recognize that this is a huge load in 3 days, and that there has to be some payback. So if you're going to put that in, you want to, it's like investing in a poor investment and getting no interest. So if you want to get your interest back from that investment, then you have to allow yourself to recover the week after. But I would encourage you to rather just do less that weekend. That'll be much better for you.
Yeah, and it's funny, Lindsay, because as you were talking about it, I remember it was a good few years ago. I think I was doing an Ironman, and I can't remember if Ironman was just before the Easter 100 or if it was just after that year. I can't actually remember. But I had this conversation with you about Easter 100, and you said to me, don't do all 3 days. You're more than happy with me doing the Friday and then the last day, but don't do the full 50 Ks. And I think you said to me, do 35. That was what it was that year. And I was like, man, I really do want to. And I ended up listening to you, and it was so funny because I got to 35 Ks. I was running with my running mates, and I was like, that's me, I'm done. And we were miles away from Randburg Harriers Clubhouse, like far away. And they said, well, how are you getting back? I was like, I'm going to catch a taxi. And I made sure that I carried some cash with me, and I literally caught a minibus taxi. I remember standing on Bayers Nordea. I didn't even know the signals, if I was pointing up or down, but I knew the which direction I needed to be going in, and hopped in a taxi and got back and met them, and that was it. And it made a huge difference to both my Ironman and my comrades that year. So advice definitely, definitely worth taking. Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about how fit we are, because, I mean, people training for comrades, I said at the start, you're probably fitter than you'll ever be in your life when you're training for comrades. And at this point in your training, it's easy to start getting carried away, especially on the weekday runs, maybe not so much the longer ones on the weekends, but the weekday runs, you're banking 10, 12K runs without even batting an eyelid. It's like, man, I'm so fit. And it's easy to then start creeping on your paces and feeling a little bit quicker. I remember when I get to that, and it's happening now. I mean, let's talk about the discipline side of it, what you want to chat about, and then I'll give you my experience of what's happening to me right now and how you need to sort of fix that.
Yeah, so I mean, there are two layers to this. And the first layer is actually just on the easy run. So as we train, we do expect to see an improvement on your easy pace. I mean, otherwise, you know, we wouldn't improve. So that's the one layer is like, yes, okay, we are going to be running faster and faster and faster, but how do we control that? And how do we make sure that that improvement in pace is an organic improvement in pace that's genuinely down to your improvement in fitness, and it's not you that's creating that by almost proving to yourself weekly that you are getting fitter, so you just putting that little bit more effort into your easy run. So that's the one side of it. And then the other side of it is like, as you get fitter, you are just able to run that much faster come races. So if you are doing long training runs, if you're doing like 30K or, you know, 20 milers or 32K races, or if you're doing a marathon as a train run, or if you're doing a 21K as part of your long weekends training, but now every weekend you run that 21, it's a new PB, or your time trial. In some of the plans, we've got time trials every week and some of them every second week. but you're not supposed to run every time trial flat out, okay? But now you're getting fitter and fitter, and every Thursday or Wednesday, whenever your club time trial is, you just run a PB after PB after PB. So those are the two kind of sides of the coin that I want to discuss. One is like, how do I know that my improvements in my easy runs are down to my fitness and my fitness alone? And then secondly, like the risk of continuously running faster and faster and setting all your PB. So the first one is it's not complicated. I wanted to say it's easy, but it's not easy, because as an athlete, it's not easy, but it's not complicated. So we want to make sure we're running easy. So how much of that improvement really is down to the fact that I'm just getting fitter, and how much of it is down to the fact that psychologically I just keep pushing myself along a little bit. So look, if you're running with people, super easy. Can I chat? Can I, back to the old trick of, am I actually running at talking pace, or am I struggling to talk while I'm having a conversation with people? So if you can just natter along, talk a lot of nonsense, then you can, that's it. Then you know that training pace is probably coming from a fact that you just a little bit fitter. And obviously almost all of us now have like these wearable devices that take heart rate, pace, you name it. So by tracking what your heart rate's doing and comparing it week to week, and if your pace is getting faster but your heart rate's also creeping higher, well, then you know that actually the reason why your pace is getting faster is because you are actually putting in more effort when you're running. So what we really want to happen is to either be similar, very similar pace with that heart rate coming down a little bit, or we want to be running at that slightly faster speed, but our heart rate is still very much what it's always been in the training process up to now. So if we use those two things in combination with each other, talk, test, heart rate, that'll really help you to stay disciplined and to know, listen, this improvement is because I'm fit, or no, actually you're kidding yourself. You're pushing yourself along to try and show yourself how fit you get. And then of course there's this idea of, okay, I'm running, I've got like 5-6 half marathons lined up, I'm just going to do them as training. But now when I get fit, it's too hard to resist the urge of just smashing a PB. And I mean, this is super common. I mean, it's a real phenomenon for novice comrades runners, but also people in their early years of comrades, because this is one of the first times that you've really dedicated yourself to training and committed yourself to a training process. You are going to get better. You are going to get stronger. We're knocking on the door of peak training. So, you know, we've been building up week after week after week. So now we really do have a good amount of volume. Your endurance has never been so good. You're finally starting to understand why coaches are so like insistent on, let's make sure that you are running easy enough and doing the run so that you can do more volume, because you can suddenly see how endurance helps on your speed. Okay, so how do we control that? Well, if you are in that groove and you are that person, you've got to stop running races. Like that is really the only way out of it. It's too tempting to just run PBs and to feel good about yourself. In the time trials, little bit easier, because you can literally remind yourself that you are going to get an opportunity to run a time trial at least once a month, where you can run for time, you can set a PB, you can keep showing yourself that you're improving. But then in the other time trials, it's a much more controlled, you're pushing yourself, but you're not trying to get to the end line smashed. You should get to the finish of that time trial feeling like there's always just a little bit more in the tank. And you can just work out exactly what pace that should be run at in terms of the scheme of your plan. So I would say that's probably your PB 8K pace minus 5 to 8 seconds per K. And then that'll give you a good hard hit out, but not absolutely flat out, not risking an injury every time you run, and not risking an injury when you're really pushing yourself on very tired legs. And then the last kind of part of that whole equation is on the the intervals, the hills, those kind of things. The same sort of principle applies, is that you do expect to get a little bit quicker as each week goes by, but we don't want to take huge jumps in that improvement. So even if you feel like you can go much faster than what's prescribed on the plan, still just slowly but surely increment the faster you are going. We don't want to risk injury for workouts that, while they improve our overall running, they do improve our running economy, they improve our coordination, at the heart of the purpose of the workout isn't your ability to finish, comrade. So if you are a sub 3 hour marathoner and you're chasing a sub 7 hour comrade, that means your marathon pace is about 4:15 per K. Your comrade's pace is just under 5 minutes a K. And your 1K pace is anywhere between like 3:20 and 3:35 per repeat. So 5 minutes a K, 3:30, 3:35. I mean, they're so far distorted from each other that running 3:20 a K, it's not really going to improve your chances much over the 3:30 per K. So you're still going to work hard, still going to run fast, but we're going to bring that injury risk right back and make sure that we're working hard, improving form, improving function, but we're not risking ourselves of getting injured way down on the fast end for something that's ultimately not going to be the big differentiator between whether we run silver or don't run silver.
Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's CoachParry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's CoachParry.com/pace. Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second-guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore. Should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough? And will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry. Knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control. Ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to CoachParry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's CoachParry.com/up. Now back to the podcast. Yeah, Lindsay, you mentioned something really important there, and I don't think a lot of people realize that speed's not the limiting factor at Comrades. I mean, obviously you want those PBs, but I mean, if you think of Bill Rowan as a medal, I mean, when someone's Comrades fit, even if you are a sub 12 hour, if you're marginal on the sub 12, like a 6 minute kilometer is doable for the vast majority of the Comrades field. And you're not going to be working like crazy hard, even if you're 12 hour Comrades. But a sub 6 minute okay is what you need to run for Bull Rowan. So the speed's there, it's that endurance, and it's making sure that those easy runs are super, super easy where that gets built in order to run a good Comrades.
Yeah, and that's the energy system we need to train. That's what we have to do in terms of getting our body used to that specific joint loading, and running super fast. Yes, it has a contributing factor to our overall fitness and our, as I said, our coordination and our ability to run faster. but our ability to run fast isn't going to determine if we are successful on race day. It's our ability to keep going at a moderate level of intensity for a very long period of time, that's what's going to determine whether we finish or do well on Comrades race day.
Okay, then there's one area where I don't know if I'm the only one who does this when they get super fit, but this is something that I really struggle with, and I remember back to my last Comrades, I was doing exactly the same thing. And that is not racing races. Like, I got quite disciplined knowing that if I was running a marathon as a training run, this was the pace I needed to run at. I got pretty good with the time trial stuff, but I found there was a bit of creep in my training runs, like towards the end, like as I was heading home, like the last K or two, I'd be feeling really good because it was an easy run, and then I would like try and open the tank a little bit and see what's in there. And I found myself doing, I still do it. Like, I find myself doing that almost in every run that I'm doing, is where like the racehorse can smell the stables, and then all of a sudden you feel like because you fit, you want to race home. What can you do to stop doing that, or should you be doing that?
Yeah. So look, out of all the things to do wrong, that's probably the least wrong thing to do. So please, I'm not telling all of you to go and finish all your runs strong, but yeah, out of the running the speed work too fast, out of going and setting your PBs every weekend, running the time trials too hard, you know, bringing home the last 10 to 15 minutes of a training run faster than you should is probably the lesser of all the training evils. The problem with all of these things is, okay, but what's the relativity of that? So, you know, if you are like winding it up like a progression run, and then the last like 400 meters are like an all-out sprint, well, then that's crazy, because you are, and especially if you're doing that like more than once a week, you are going to risk yourself getting injured, and then that's going to be the end of that. So if you're picking it up slightly, that's all right. But how do we make sure we don't? It's actually harder than what you think, because the tools that measure it are less accurate when you get to the end of the run. So the torque test still works fairly well. So if you're with somebody and you start like getting white line fever and speeding up as you get home, then of course you can, yeah, you know, I mean you'll become breathless. So that's probably the easiest. But in terms of your heart rate, you're already getting cardiac drift. So, you know, once you're 45 minutes, 60 minutes, hour and a half, 2 hours into exercise, you do have cardiac drift. And so your heart rate is drifting up a little bit. And so even if you stay easy, your heart rate's going to be a little bit higher at the end of long runs. So heart rate becomes slightly harder tool to manage that with, but it's still usable. I mean, the reality is that if you're doing this at the end of a long run, you know that typical values are 5 to 8 beats per minute higher than what's considered easy for you. So make sure you are within that to stop you from getting that kind of white line fever, for lack of a better word. And there was, I had another way, but I've been talking. So, and then of course there's just your stock standard GPS. I mean, like that's what almost all of our watches use, and it's part of what drives us to this, because we want to see that we can finish stronger. But the reality is that is the functionality that can go click on it and go, oh, I'm supposed to be running 6 minutes a K and I'm running 5:20 a K. I mean, you know, the answer's there in front of you. You need to back off, slow down, and just make sure you get yourself back into talking place. So the actual physical pace of the run can give you feedback, and you can set an alarm on your watch that says, if I go faster than this, it beeps. And then you can go, oh, I'm being silly again. Let me pull back.
It's those blimmin' Strava segments close to my house. That's the problem, Lindsay. That's what I blame. That is definitely what the problem is. And then the two things, as you were talking, that sort of sprung to mind that I wanted to ask you about. So the one is about seeding, that if you've qualified, obviously there are still some peeps who haven't qualified yet, but not going to talk about them. But the seeding and the sort of pushing a little bit harder. We'll deal with that in a sec. But let's talk about goal creep. So obviously, January, we spoke about getting on the right plan for you, where you're at that time. Now that we're getting fitter, what about changing our goal? So maybe we were a 12-hour comrades, but now we're running a lot faster and we could potentially be a sub-11 comrade. Like, should we be changing our goal as we get fitter?
So the answer is yes and no. So let's deal with the yes first. Why would I consider upgrading my goal? Well, because by all the metrics and checking myself that it's not just me pushing and trying to be faster, but by all the objective metrics, I am now well ahead of when I set this target over 3 months ago. And there's still a bit of training time left to comrades. But, you know, when I started this process, I was running a 35-minute 5K. Now I'm running a 28-minute 5K. Would be like a simplistic example. Then, yes, if we can see that the ability's gone up, we can see that your training paces are far faster than what's required for the finishers plan, and your heart rate is really nice and low, so then we know that you're not pushing every run. We know that every run is easy. Your 5 and 10 and half marathon or a marathon time when you qualified pushes you into a new bracket, so to speak, so from finishers to sub-11 or from sub-11 to 10. So yes, there are some objective markers we can use to help you make sure that going for this faster medal isn't compromising your original goal, which is actually to just get there and finish. And then, of course, the answer is a no if you like are a genuine novice to running. So regardless of what your running ability is, you're like a novice to running. You started running just to do comrades. Your kind of running history and your body is just really light on the training stress. Then I would say no, don't go with goal inflation. Stick with what you would have always left happy with, because you can get yourself through a full training cycle, can get yourself to race day, get lots of experience of what comrades is about and absorbing everything, and leave comrades as a better runner in a better place to chase your dreams and your goals further down the line.
Lindsay, let's talk about seeding. We've spoken about it lots, about the risk of chasing seed, not necessarily the risk, but the why you don't want to be chasing seeding this close to comrades race day. Like, if you've got a seeding and you go and put a full on effort for a marathon now, just how that's going to compromise your training. But what if you are one of those people that has genuinely improved with the fitness? And let's say you ran a 4:10 qualifier or a 4:25. So you weren't that far off the next bracket for a seeding. But if you had to go and run now, you probably, at that same intensity, you probably could go below. So you could go under 4, you could go under 4:20. Would you suggest, if somebody is changing their goal, to now try and improve their seeding this late in the game?
I wouldn't. I mean, and I know for everybody except the for the sub-12 hours, the H batches, that sounds harsh, because the pure reduction in stress of not being in H and then moving into G is huge. But for everyone else, there's really, the payoff is so low. The payoff of running another marathon, risking injury, not being able to train properly afterwards, the payoff is just extremely low. I mean, if you're going to move from G to F, I mean, we're talking like a minute and a half. Like, your return on investment is so low that it makes no sense on any metric other than I want to start with my friends. And because that metric is so low, just get there first. Get to the start line early enough and get there first. And if your buddies are really your buddies, at the expo, go to the help desk, get them to make your buddy's seating to match yours, and then you start with them. But no, there's just, like, if you want to talk about zero return on your investment, it's chasing seating now and really jeopardizing not only your true ability on race day, but absolutely jeopardizing whether you could get a finisher's medal or not.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lindsay, that if you can follow me for more training hacks, but make sure you get to the start early and make sure you're at the front of your seeding bet. So if you're in H, make sure you're in the front of H, or if you're in G, make sure you're in the front of G. That is the best way to ensure that you don't lose that extra time in that seeding batch. It's like you don't have to work harder. You just need to wake up slightly earlier on one day. So, and you're probably not going to sleep the night before comrades anyway. So just make sure you get there early. I think that is great, great advice. Don't forget, we are doing a comrades webinar this week. The link is in the description. So if you've got this far, do sign up for that. We look forward to having you on live. Lindsay, Easter weekend. I know you've got kids. So do I. It's a big weekend in the Parry household as well as the Nadalt household. So happy Easter to you and to everyone else who is celebrating Easter this weekend as well. Happy training. Parting shot from you before I wrap.
Yeah, I mean, I think you gave up beer for Lent or something along those lines. So I think you can probably treat yourself to one. You've made such good progress in your fitness. So now you can indulge a little bit, but not too much. Don't undo all the hard work and discipline that you've been doing. And of course, when I say you, I wasn't speaking specifically to Brad, but actually to you as a general public listener. So be it chocolate, wine, beer, whatever it is that you potentially gave up for Lent. Just, yeah, obviously enjoy it, but let's try and use the discipline from Lent to keep that going over the next or the last little push to comrades.
Yeah, let's not hang out on the dark side just yet. We are nearly there. Keep that discipline. Happy training. Stay safe. It is getting darker in the mornings as well. I've noticed that on my runs. So make sure that you are safe and lit up. And we look forward to catching up again next week. From the two of us, it's cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.